Today's reading is in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. One of the advantages to reading through each of these gospel accounts the way we're doing right now is to have a good remembrance of how it was in another gospel account and notice some of the differences. And it's interesting that John presents this case very differently than other gospel accounts. In Matthew, you know, it's mentioned that Jesus had compassion on the people and that they were like a sheep without shepherd. And so that fits with the way that Matthew is writing. And John presents this from the perspective of teaching and testing his disciples. And so both are correct. I have no doubt about that. But we get a little bit different perspective and different information because of that perspective. Matthew talks about them getting in the boat. John just mentions that they went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And that's okay. There's no problem with those differences in the accounts. It would be like telling a story. And you and I might have both experienced something, but I tell it a little bit differently than you would tell it. Neither one being wrong. And each one perhaps even having some different details than the other. But John says there was this large crowd following, and Jesus goes up on the mountain, and it was about the time of the Passover. He sees this large crowd coming toward him, and he says to Philip, with the intention of testing him, in other words, to see how he's going to answer. Now, Jesus already knows, since he is all-knowing, but he says, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He's provoking some thought. He's getting them to start thinking and opening their mind a little bit. And so the question and then the event and then their reflection later is going to initiate that thought process that Jesus is trying to get them to take. So he asked Philip, you know, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" And Philip is looking at this crowd and he's knowing that they've likely barely got enough money to, you know, be buying food for themselves, much less a large crowd of people that ends up being 5,000 men. He says, you know, "And even if we spend everything we have, what would they get? A tiny bite? A tiny morsel? A few crumbs? What would it be?" That's kind of the way Philip is responding. And Andrew points out a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And I would give him great credit for pointing that out. That was significant in this case. However, his attitude is the same as Philip's, in that he's thinking, what good is it going to do? You know, is it going to actually feed anybody? I mean, we can't split that up, you know, what, 5,000 ways, even if we're only talking about just the men. Now, as far as we can tell, Jesus doesn't do any explanation, doesn't tell them what he's going to do. He just tells them to have the people sit down. He takes the loaves and he distributes, fish likewise, and then tells them to gather up the leftover fragments. Remember the surprise when he was talking about feeding all these people and they said, we don't have enough money to buy enough food. We don't have enough food to distribute to them. And now he's saying, go out there and get the leftovers. This must have been quite a moment for them. So they gathered up and filled 12 baskets with fragments. Now the people have already seen the signs of him healing people. Now they see the signs of him feeding people. They say, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. And then verse 15, perceiving they were about to come and take him by force to make him king. It's kind of an interesting way to put that, isn't it? Take him by force. One who has the power to feed all these people and heal all the sick, and they would take him by force. And to make him king. That's what they want. They want a king. These people are excited. Not just about the healing, but now they see the feeding and they think, this has to be who we want to be king. This has to be the one we've been waiting for. And so in that excitement of the moment, they're going to try to grab him and install him as king, which, by the way, would have started an immediate war with the Romans. But that's not what they're thinking about. They're just thinking about the excitement, the happiness they would have at having a king again and having one that the power of God was behind. And they're probably, you know, thinking about the conquering of the land of Canaan, which we've been studying through on Sunday mornings through the book of Joshua and all the events that happened there, the amazing things that God was doing in order to give them that promised land. They want a return to that. And they feel like that they should be able to return to that. I think when they make that statement, this is the prophet that has come into the world, that they're referring to the Messiah, but they're thinking of King Messiah and a return to this earthly power, not a priestly Messiah that is also king. But of course, there's a couple of things here. Number one, Jesus hasn't finished his ministry yet. And number two, this is not how God planned it. This was not what he was intending for him to do. So Jesus withdraws, goes away from them because he does not want to have to deal with the people doing this. And there's a few instances in which there are times when people try to do something with Jesus, good or bad, and Jesus just withdraws. He goes away. They're not able to lay hold of him. If Jesus was just a man and not the Son of God coming for a spiritual purpose, then this would have been a great moment. It would have been, yeah, let's go make me a king. Any man would be fine with that. They would like that idea. But Jesus is not like men. He has that spiritual purpose. And that's truly remarkable about him. He has no ambition in these ways. Even when Satan tempts him, and says, you know, I'll give you all that you can see, all these kingdoms. And no, it didn't tempt Jesus truly. He didn't give in to that because he had a different purpose. And that purpose is what drove him. That purpose is what moved him. And that's what he came to do, which was the Father's will. I would also state that it is to the people's advantage that he doesn't allow this to happen. If he had been installed as a king at that point, then he would not have finished his spiritual purpose. And that would have been contrary to the will of God, contrary to the plan of God, contrary to the plan that would be for the salvation of men. And so, you know, Jesus withdrawing and leaving this is an example of the fact that sometimes people think they're doing something good in the heat of the moment, and no, it's not the best choice. Just kind of a side note for you to think about there. And so the one who withdraws, the one who pulls away because he needs to accomplish that spiritual purpose, that's my high priest. That's my king, my Lord, my Savior. That's who we have. That's Jesus. We need to have a similar frame of mind, a frame of mind in which we can deny the temptation of the moment for a longer term. We can deny the temptation of the moment and make the righteous choices that would be according to the Father's will. That's what we need. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.